My brothers and sisters in the Lord, there's a story about a father who was reading to his young daughter one night before bed. And he was retelling or giving a recount of the parable that we just heard from St. Luke's Gospel of the prodigal son. And he was telling the little girl about the son who took the father's money and spent it on all sorts of things until there was the famine, and finally realized he had to return to his father, where his father welcomed him and restored him back to the family. And he was giving all these details, and at the end, the father asked his little girl, "What do you think the lesson is in this story or in this parable?" And the little five-year-old looked at her father and said, "Well, Dad, I think the lesson is never leave home without your credit card." Now, I don't think, my friends, that was Jesus' intended lesson. The story of the prodigal son, the parable of the prodigal son, is one that is familiar to all of us because it is a parable that all of us are able to relate to. There's a story in the early 20th century of an itinerant preacher by the name of G.W. Rosenberg. And G.W. Rosenberg would jump on the local trains. And he would travel from town to town, jumping on and off of a train in order to preach. And the story goes that one day he was on a train heading to the next town where he was scheduled to give his preaching mission. And while he was on this train, he noticed a young man, probably late 20s to early 30s. The young man had an old tattered suitcase under his seat. And every few minutes, he would get up from his seat and he would pace up and down in the train car. And so Rosenberg realized that there was probably something wrong with this young man, something going on in his life. And so after the young man sat down, Rosenberg went to sit next to him. And he asked a simple question to the young man, "Is everything okay?" And from that simple question, my brothers and sisters, it was like turning on the water spigot. Everything began to flow out. And the young man began to tell his story. He said that when he was younger, in his early teenage years, he and his father didn't get along very well at all. In fact, they spent most of their time either fighting or yelling back and forth with one another. And then one day when he was about 17, he got really angry because he and his father were in an argument. And he said, "I said to my father, I might as well just leave home." To which his father responded, "Well, if you do, don't let the door hit you on the way out." And he said, "I was so mad, I went to my room, I got my suitcase, I packed everything that I could into this suitcase, and I went to the kitchen door. And I said to my father, I'm leaving. And my father said to me, 'Son, if you leave this house right now, don't ever step back again.' And he said, I left." And he said, "From that particular point in time, I traveled from town to town doing odd and end jobs. I got caught up in the wrong crowd. And one night after we were drinking, we robbed a local liquor store. And I've just spent the past 7 years in prison. I was just released a few days ago. And before I was released from prison, I wrote my father a letter. And I said to him that I wanted to come home if he would only receive me." And he was telling the preacher that there is a big tree right on side this particular train track that comes right before the bend where the train turns, that he could see his house. And he said to his father, if you want me to return home, tie something white around that tree. And if I see something white around that tree, I know that I'll be welcomed home. But if there's nothing there, I will just stay on this train and go on to the next town. And so as he's recounting the story, the train is getting closer and closer to the bend. And the young man is really getting nervous. So he says to Rosenberg, I can't look out the window. Will you look out the window for me? Will you let me know if you see anything tied to that tree? And so as they came around the bend, Rosenberg looked out the window. And to his surprise and his shock, he saw the tree. And tied to that tree was every bedsheet, pillowcase, towel, washcloth, undergarments, everything white in that house was tied to that tree. And so Rosenberg, very ecstatic, told the young man to look. And he says, I can never forget the smile on his face. And when that train came to a stop, he jumped off. And I could see him running in the distance and his father there on the porch greeting him as he returned. My brothers and sisters, I tell you that story. Why? Because at the cross, God emptied the linen closet of heaven, inviting all of us to come home. The invitation goes out to receive his mercy. You see, my friends, all of us can relate to the story of Rosenberg, to the story of the prodigal son, because it is a familiar story. Because all of us have an experience of someone in our life who is prodigal. Maybe it was a brother or a sister. Maybe it was a child. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was us. Or maybe we're still prodigal. And certainly, my brothers and sisters, all of us at one point or another have had a prodigal heart. We have wandered away from God. We have cut God off in certain areas of our life because those areas are only meant for me. We've closed ourselves off to God's mercy. Or maybe we don't even think we deserve God's mercy. And the invitation goes forth to come home, to receive that mercy. You see, my friends, notice in the parable that Jesus tells in St. Luke's Gospel how it begins. Jesus is speaking to who? Tax collectors and sinners. The only thing worse than a sinner was a tax collector. Now, I don't know if that still holds true. I'll let you make your own judgment. But he was talking to the sinners and the tax collectors. And we have to remember, it was the Jewish custom for a rabbi only to teach those who were not sinners, not tax collectors. If you were a sinner or a tax collector, you didn't deserve to be taught anything. And so here's the initial shock that Jesus is telling this parable to those who are outcasts. And he speaks of this younger son who says to his father he wants his share of the inheritance. And in Jewish times, my friends, there were only two ways normally the inheritance was passed on. One was through death, or the other is in which the parent became so old they could no longer take care of their estate. And so they divided it up amongst their children. And so as we know, the younger son was basically saying to the father, I wish you were dead. Give me what I deserve. Now, how would you and I react, my brothers and sisters? I don't know about you, but I'll be very honest. I'll probably say, you no good SOB. And I'm not talking about a son of Beniel. But what does Jesus say the father does? He doesn't put up a fight. He doesn't complain. He doesn't curse his son out. He says he divides the estate. And the sun goes off. You see, my brothers and sisters, C.S. Lewis tells us there are two types of people. There are those of us who say to God, "Thy will be done." And there are those who God says to us, "Thy will be done." Do you see the difference? Because you see, God does not force us to love him. God does not force us to receive his mercy. God does not force us to live according to his will. We have free will, and love is an act of the will. And we have to be willing to love. And so for those of us who cut ourselves off from God, God says, "Thy will be done. I'm not going to force you to love me. I'm not going to force you to come home." The invitation goes out. You and I need to accept it. And finally, as the story, the parable goes on that we're so familiar with, my friends, the young man, after spending all of his money by letting the good times roll, finds himself literally in the pigsty. And we might say that's not the best job in the world. For the Jewish people, the swine, the pig, were unclean animals. It was one of the worst jobs in the world. And it was there in the pigsty that the young man had his conversion. It was there at his lowest moment that he realized he had someone he could go to. What does Jesus say in the parable? The young man gets up and says, "I will go to my Father. And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you." My brothers and sisters, no matter where we've been on the journey, no matter what we've done, we do have a God of second chances to be able to say, "I will go to my Father and I will say to him." It relates to the gospel last weekend about that fig tree, where Jesus, the gardener, says, "Give it one more year, and I will fertilize it and cultivate it, and maybe then it will bear fruit." And he goes to his Father. And his Father is waiting for him, watching for him, runs to meet him, embraces him, puts sandals on his feet, a robe on his back, a ring on his finger. He restores him to the family. He restores his identity. And there's rejoicing, because what was lost has been found. My brothers and sisters, sometimes we're like the younger son. We have wandered far from God, and God invites us home. Sometimes we're like the elder son, and we're stuck in our own self-righteousness, and that's for another day and another homily. But you see, my friends, from any time we have wandered from God, God invites us to come home, to receive his mercy, to be restored and renewed, to be who he has created us and called us to be. The linen closet of heaven, my brothers and sisters, has been emptied. God has sent out the invitation. How will you and I respond?